WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Happy Columbus Day weekend. It's that time of year. Fall is around the corner. The weather's been getting a little cooler, and things are changing. But tomorrow, this weekend's a long weekend for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure you have plans to visit some Columbus Day parade and speak in Italian.
Well, va bene.
Well, we're here tonight to talk about an upcoming concert and the last concert that you held with the Newport Music Festival sponsorship, so to speak, a couple weeks ago was sold out. So we want to make sure people know about this next one coming up so they don't get locked out. That's going to be when?
That will be on October 27th, Saturday. It begins at 6:30 at the Art Museum, and I think our listeners perhaps have heard us talk about these before. You can come at 6:30 and grab a glass of wine or something to drink, and there are always lovely, heavy appetizers, and you can wander the galleries and look at the exhibition, and then the concert begins at 7 o'clock. And then at intermission, there are usually sweets, you know, something delightful. And again, you can take your time in the galleries and have something to drink. So it really is an evening experience. And of course, at this time of year, there's lots of free parking, which, as we know, in our urban centers like Boston or New York are very hard to come by.
Right. Well, so Newport in October is a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're very excited about that concert. And, you know, that concert we had a couple of weeks ago with the Ariel Quartet was sold out, and it was delightful. And people just love these evenings. So we're thrilled that we can produce them at the Art Museum.
All right. And who's going to be featured in this concert?
Well, as I think we've also mentioned before, we are absolutely thrilled to have Stephanie Chase and Sarah Davis Büchner returning after their incredible performances at the 50th Anniversary Festival last summer. You know, Stephanie led so many of those wonderful pieces, and I will never forget her performance of the Vivaldi Four Seasons. It was absolutely devastatingly beautiful. And of course, Sarah is such a magnificent pianist. She did the Dueling Pianos concert at Blythewald, which people loved. And, you know, she played lots of wonderful things, including Beethoven. So what's interesting is that Sarah and Stephanie have been friends for a long time, and they've concertized together for many years. And so when you have these artists that have this tremendous synergy, you feel it immediately. They're also wonderful speakers. They speak from the stage to the audience. And I find that in this day and age, when maybe people haven't listened to as much classical music, it creates an incredible bridge.
Yeah, it helps explain a lot of things. I know this, that when I saw them both together, which was at the Elms.
Yes,
right?
last summer.
This past summer, there was some great explanation of some of the pieces, and I always learn something like I do from you.
Thank you very much. So this evening begins with Mozart, and as a matter of fact, Sarah is right now in the process of performing all of the Mozart pieces written for pianoforte. So a little bit about the first piece on the program, which is the Violin Sonata by Mozart in E flat major, Kerschel 302. So at this point, Mozart had resigned his post in Salzburg, and he had set out in about 1777 to find new employment. It's so hard for us to imagine that Mozart had to seek employment. Nonetheless, he did, and he took a long journey. And during this period, he composed six sonatas for piano and violin. He landed in Mannheim, and he wrote this one, which is the second of the six, in 1778. So it was likely inspired by a set of pieces for harpsichord and violin that he had heard himself, and he wrote home to his father, well, you know, they were not too bad.
They were okay.
Exactly. But that exactly inspired him to write his own pieces. So this piece, as we mentioned, was written in 1778, and at this period of time, he was writing his late symphonies. So for us, he was only 22. Nonetheless, it is very mature Mozart. So, you know, he had started writing operas. And so you can hear in this those other more dynamic influences that are large scale, you know, opera or symphonies. Even though this is just for violin and piano, it's quite dynamic and quite heroic. So I'd love to play the whole piece. It's only two movements. And the first one is an allegro, you know, quite fast and fun. And then there's this beautiful rondo. So let's listen to this recording by Anna Sophie Mutter, who, as we know, is one of the Mozart geniuses. She really immersed herself in his works. And the pianist is Lambert Orkis. So let's listen to this.
We'll do that and then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Happy Columbus Day weekend. I'm Mike Maino, sitting with Pamela Pantos, and we're eating our cannolis.
And, which are quite delicious.
Right, and just having a great time here on Columbus Day Eve. Pamela, let's get back to the show and the business at hand.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that Mozart spent much of his life in Vienna, and Sarah and Stephanie very cleverly now picked another Viennese composer, namely Richard Strauss, who lived from 1864 to 1949. And while he was based in Vienna for much of his life, he has obviously a very different sensibility. Here we're talking about very late Romantic music. And yet, we're going to hear a violin sonata by Strauss, as we did from Mozart. And I love the fact that Stephanie and Sarah selected a piece in the same key, that E-flat major. And what it does is it allows us to hear how two composers approach the same key, the same form, and yet completely different, right? Mm-hmm. Two geniuses in their own right. So this particular violin sonata came at a very interesting point in Richard Strauss's career. He wrote it when he was 24, similar to Mozart, who wrote his when he was 22. But unlike Mozart, who was composing many different kinds of genres at the same time, Richard Strauss was just beginning sort of his symphonic poem Don Juan, and then later he moved on to opera, whereas Mozart at this point had composed several operas. But the violin sonata, interestingly enough, was Richard Strauss's last piece of chamber music, so he was leaving a smaller form and moving on to bigger forms. So it shows the world he was sort of leaving and the world he was about to enter. So the sonata looks back to the classical tradition, right, of Brahms and Schumann, which of course is based on, you know, Mozart and Haydn. But in one way, it looks back to that form. In the other way, you can hear the symphonic poems. You know, it's very volcanic. There's dense textures. And you wonder if it's chamber music at all, because for both the piano and the violin, it's so virtuoso, right? It's written almost like a Liszt piano concerto for the piano line. And then for the strings, it almost sounds like you have a complete symphony. So it's a very exciting piece. There are three movements. And I would love to listen to the first movement, which is the Allegro non troppo. And this is the great Itzhak Perlman and Emmanuel Axe on piano.
All right, it's a little bit lengthy, so we'll listen to that, then take another short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
We are back. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, and we're talking about a special presentation coming up in just a couple weeks, October 27th, Saturday evening, and we have a special concert at the Newport Art Museum. Mm-hmm. And let's just give the people a little bit more information about how to get tickets. We urge them at the beginning of the show to make sure they get tickets early because the last one was sold out. But they do it by going to the website, right?
Mm-hmm. At newportmusic.org. But if you'd like, you are more than welcome to call the box office at 401-849-0700.
And that's a simple website, newportmusic.org.
And,
yes.
You know, the nice thing about it is people can just go in and actually select their seats. But I think one of the things that people have really enjoyed is that the stage is elevated now in the art museum. We put a full 3-foot stage on there. So anywhere you're sitting, you have full view of the stage. So there's not a bad seat in the
house. Oh, great. So
yeah.
It's not like a flat floor thing where you can't say, I can't see the violin.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Well, great. All right. And we've been talking about the people that will be playing and performing that day. And I guess we're going to pick it up just after the intermission part of the program, right?
Exactly, where there's going to be actually a special treat. Sarah, as many individuals know, has had a long career. And she had the great fortune to meet and work with a particular composer named Miklos Rocha. And I'm sure people are thinking, who is this? It's a Hungarian composer who lived from 1907 to 1995. You do know his works, even though you might not know his name, because he was a composer in many genres, including movie music. So often the composers, except for maybe John Williams, right? There are a couple of people's names who, you know, we might know, but a lot of the movie composers, you know, we don't know their names. He had a notable Hollywood career, and it earned him considerable fame, including 17 Academy Award nominations for his scores. 17.
Wow.
Okay. And perhaps I'll name a couple of those movies that people might recognize. Spellbound, A Double Life, and Ben-Hur. I mean, how can you not know Ben-Hur, right? So, you know, he was very active in Hollywood. And his concert works, you know, his classical quote-unquote compositions were championed by major artists like Jascha Heifetz. So he had a very deep career, and Sarah worked with him. And so she's going to play several of his piano works and talk about her experiences with him. And she even recorded a CD of these works. So this is really something special, the opportunity to learn about a composer who's very accessible. Obviously, people who write movie music, it's very lyrical.
Right.
And to talk about that. And Sarah's such a brilliant narrator. And the program will end with Ravel's Tzigan. Ravel lived from 1875 to 1937, and he was in his 40s when he wrote this piece. And it was really, it came out of his interest in Hungarian culture, which is why it goes so well with the pieces before it by Miklos Rocha. You know, we have this sort of Hungarian set.
Mm-hmm.
What was interesting is it was written for violin and an instrument that is similar to the piano but really no longer exists. It's called the luthiel. And what it did is it was sort of like a mini organ in that you could change the sound in it. You could change the timbre like an organ, like it had stops and things like that. And there's only one surviving example of this instrument in Brussels, in their musical instrument museum. But Ravel loved the sound of this instrument. And so he wrote this Tzigan for this instrument. And what it did is it allowed him to color, you know, all of these different colors that he felt that, you know, the Hungarian gypsy music really had. So that's quite fascinating. And now it is written for, now people play it on the piano. So Tzigan means gypsy, as we said, and it allowed the violinist to play musically and technically, you know, virtuoso. And again, someone like Stephanie Chase, again, you know, cherishes pieces like this, and I can't wait to hear it. It follows the pattern of a traditional csárdás, you know, the slow introduction that then has, you know, a rhapsody or a fast section, and then there's sort of a dance section, and then, you know, it ends with this whirlwind like we expect. So let's listen to Joshua Bell. I had to play it because he played at the festival last year, and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Andrew Litton, play Ravel's Tzigan.
All right. We want to remind you one more time, this is all taking place on Saturday, October 27th, and doors open at 6:30 p.m. at the Newport Art Museum. Don't miss it. Get out and support the Newport Music Festival activities. Pamela, we'll see you next time. And we'll see all the rest of you the next time with a special presentation of the Newport Music Festival.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.